This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Good morning, America, and welcome to the Dan and Dave Show exclusively on America's Web Radio. We're glad to have you listening in today. We've got a very exciting show, I think. Paul Sutliff is the gentleman's name. He's written a book, and he's also become quite an authority on the Islamic Jihad, and his book is named Civilization, Jihad, and the Myth of Moderate Islam. And Paul will be joining us about a quarter after the hour. So with that being said, good morning, Dan. How's the left coast?
Good morning, Dave. It's good to hear your bright and shiny voice this morning. I'm looking forward to the program, and the left coast is alive and well. Bernie Sanders is more popular than ever, and Hillary's popularity is fading. So, what can I say?
Why doesn't
Monday morning?
Why doesn't her popularity just fade on out?
Well, I think it's headed that direction.
She's already cut a deal with the DOJ, though. That there was an article on that this morning, and that really upsets me from the standpoint that a lot of attorneys, I can't say whether they personally know her, but supposedly they respected Loretta Lynch or whatever her name is, that she would be fair and equitable if the FBI brought the information that she would, if they thought they had a case, then she would indict. And unfortunately, she basically last Friday gave Hillary sort of a green light in that, the information is so scattered and it may take months and months, and, we don't have enough information for an indictment, and basically gave old Hillary the bitch, a green light to go on and get it to the point that if she were to be elected, and this would be historical and worth shooting, that, if she were to win, then she could give herself a presidential pardon. Now, if that wouldn't beat all.
Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't you like to be able to do that? Oh, yeah. I ran the red light, but, I'm president now, so I didn't run the red light.
Yeah.
That twist your head off. That's great logic.
Is what it is, or whatever they say, or whatever some infamous president said. What is
it?
Yeah,
so will the FBI come out with a report, or is the FBI just their history? Are they going to drop the investigation now, or what will happen?
I don't know. I've heard lots of people that I respect, outside of government that have been in some way, shape, or form involved with government in the past, be it CIA or FBI, and most of them are talking that the FBI, not everyone in the FBI, but many, and even at the very top, are so fed up with politics and with being told how to run their offices that if they can't get an indictment, they will proceed with a verbal indictment and go to the media with it, with undeniable facts, that she can't get around them. So I guess time will tell. I'm still betting on my man Joe. I still think Uncle Joe is going to come to the rescue when Hillary has to resign from running, and there old Joe will be. And I think they're prepping us for Joe, as a matter of fact. sending that idiot to negotiate anything in Afghanistan or in Iraq, I'm sorry, is about as meaningful as sending Santa Claus to negotiate with Walmart.
Yeah, but it got his name in the news, didn't it?
Exactly.
He put it front and center and
exactly.
And said, look at Joe Biden.
He's international.
Yeah. Well, I don't think the FBI is going to go public. You won't see that.
Oh, no. Maybe I stated it wrong. The FBI, per se, will not. Joe Smith of the FBI is not going to have an interview. That won't happen. But Joe Smith of the FBI will take old Dan off to the corner and say, here's the facts. Do with them as you want. Just don't use my name.
That could happen, yeah.
Sort of like, as you and I recall, many years ago, a little deal called Watergate and Deep Throat. And, you know, they've got their ways of publicizing it and letting the info out of the box. And I think they'll do it. They're sick and tired of it. They're fed up with it. I mean, everybody has gotten a gutful of, and it's the Clintons, it's the Sanders, it's the Republicans, it's, you know, you name them, and they're sick of them.
I can believe that. If you're a good, hard-working guy and you're the upper echelon of your company is political, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what kind of decision they're going to make. You don't know if you're going to be able to accomplish your mission. It makes it uncertain. And that's how you destroy morale. Morale. Morals, too, I think.
I think our morals have already been destroyed, and morale is in a low ebb.
Yeah.
It's
would agree.
Crime. You know, it just... And you can't trust anybody. The Republicans, as many have said, won and then have done nothing, not kept any of their promises. It's just a shame. And one reason that we're having Mr. Sutliff on today is that, you know, in my opinion, Donald Trump is the only one that's addressing the Islamic / Muslim / terrorist / whatever else you want to call it situation in the U.S. But we better wake up and smell the music pretty fast, because we've got an infiltration, and this is something that I think Paul will go over today, that we've got an infiltration of our country, and we don't even know it. We had it on 9/11. We didn't even know it. We've got your next-door neighbor may be the fine, outstanding gentleman or family from Iraq or from who knows where that is sitting there mowing his grass on Saturdays and building his bombs on Sundays and has you in his... in his sights. And this is not fiction. This is fact. And it's, again, I think this is something that Paul will bring out when he joins us at 8:15 this morning. It's scary. The riots in California, and they, I don't know if you saw it or not, but supposedly the riots against Trump and so forth, I saw an interview where they were interviewing some of the people that were raising hell and trying to flip police cars and all this kind of stuff, and they ask them, you know, what are you doing? What is this about? What is it for? And I don't believe a one of them answered the question, not while I was watching, anyway.
Well. Do you think they just got caught up in something, or do you think they were paid?
You know, and again, I have nothing to base this on. My gut feeling, though, from years of experience and being in D.C. and talking to the police that were watching a march going on, I would venture to say that probably well over 50%, it might even be 70, 80% were paid, and the other 20% are just idiots that say, oh, hey, that's a neat-looking fire over there. Let's see what happens if I throw some of my gasoline on it. You know, they're just idiots. They don't have a clue. And I would venture to say that something over 50% was paid, and the rest of them are just fools that would go along. You know, there's some people that go along with cutting their heads off, you know?
Yeah.
And you'll never... Yeah. They don't even know what... They have no clue what they stand for, and I'm not sure they stand for anything. They just want to... You know, it's like you take a kid to a deserted warehouse group, and he sees another kid throwing rocks at a window and breaking a window, and he says, you know, that sort of looks like fun. I'd like to do that. So he picks up a rock, and he breaks a window. And another kid comes along and says, well, there are two of them doing it. Must be okay. Looks like fun. I think I'll break a window.
Yeah. Yeah, nobody ever told me it was wrong to break that window. Besides, it looks like fun. Let's do it.
Yeah, it makes a neat noise when that rock goes through it.
Yeah. I'm just scanning some articles about Hillary and the FBI, and, you know, she has an interview date with the FBI, which she may have already had her interview.
No, she hadn't. She keeps saying, oh, I'm looking forward to it, because this is just a security clearance type thing. She's lying out, you know, FBI doesn't do that. They are criminal, and, you know, I bet she's looking forward to an interview with the FBI, if it ever comes to pass, looking forward to that like she'd be looking forward to a sharp stick in the eye. But she's a liar.
Yeah.
She lies about everything.
Yeah, I have been pretty negative about the results of this investigation. I just don't believe that anything is going to take place. I don't believe the FBI is going to release a report. I don't think they're going to interview Hillary. I just don't think it's going to happen.
Well, yeah,
and I'm not sure why. I'm not sure why. I don't know that she has that much power anymore, but she may. It's interesting.
Oh, I think she does. Or you know, if I was facing that,
I think it has to go to the doorstep of Obama. I think Obama is president. He's pulling the strings and orchestrating the way he wants this investigation to go.
Well, you know, he's as guilty as she is because they exchanged. Messages and so forth. It's going to be interesting. We're coming up.
I'm more unhappy about Benghazi actually than I am about the email server.
Well, a good point was made the other day by somebody, and I don't remember who it was, but they said regarding the email server and what was secret or top secret or top secret or whatever. Was the fact that when she got something and then she communicated to someone else or she communicated something to someone to begin with, it doesn't have to be labeled top secret because if she's doing it other than emailing Chelsea, then it is top secret because if you're the Secretary of the State, you're not sending e-cards on anniversaries to people, you're talking governmental business. And you're emailing government, not to say 100% of it, but much of it. And that's why you use the government servers, and you don't have to say, it's not like there's a big rubber stamp on an email that says this is classified. If she's talking to you about Iraq, if the Secretary of State is talking to someone else about Iraq, and what she or he or whatever may or may not do, that automatically becomes top secret. You don't want your enemy to know that you're going to send 8 dozen eggs to Iraq. At this point, we've got to take a break, and we'll be back, hopefully, with Paul. I'm not sure why he hadn't called in yet, but we'll take our break, and we'll be back right after this.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
Did you miss the show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on americaswebradio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on americaswebradio.com anytime you like.
It's not just your garden. It's the way you live. And there's so much to know. But you have help. Bonnie Plants. Now with Bonnie's app, Homegrown, you can learn about veggie and herb varieties, track and record your garden with photos and notes, share on Facebook and Twitter, and so much more. How'd you ever grow without it? Get Homegrown with Bonnie Plants for iPhone and Android. The more you know, the better you can grow with Bonnie.
You're listening to americaswebradio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And welcome back to the Dan and Dave Show on America's Web Radio. And it's a delight to have Mr. Paul Sutliff on with us today. Paul, welcome to our roundtable, which is in Atlanta, and Dan's in Portland, and you're up in New York. But we'll still play like you're here at the roundtable. So welcome to America's Web Radio.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
As I mentioned early on in the show, Paul has written a book, and this really got my attention. His book is called Civilization Jihad and the Myth of Moderate Islam. And I've got a couple of questions that I want to ask you right off. One is, you want to give us a real definition of jihad, and the other thing is that it's been my belief ever since before 9/11, I guess, really, but certainly since 9/11, that if a person is a true believer in the Quran, then there ain't no such animal as a moderate Muslim. So I'll let you address those two questions if you don't mind.
Hello?
Yeah, Paul?
Yeah, Paul, can you hear me? Yeah, I can. Okay.
Are you not hearing me, Paul?
I didn't get a question. I didn't hear the rest. It dropped off after you said 9/11.
Okay. What I was saying is that if a person is a believer in the Quran and reader of the Quran, then there's no such thing as a moderate Islam. Islamic person, moderate Muslim, whatever you want to call them, if they're a believer in the Quran, it's very clear on what they believe, and they can't be moderate.
Well, there's no such thing. I don't like the term moderate Muslim, number one, because the people who commit jihad are basically good, devout Muslims. I prefer that there are devout Muslims who believe the Quran. And those are the ones we find taking one of two actions in America, one an act of jihad, or they're currently taking part in civilization jihad. And in America, that could mean, or any place in North America, that can simply mean moving in,
having babies to overtake the population growth, so they can overtake the United States through population. They're moving in, and they are also trying to form Sharia zones by moving next to each other and taking over areas through that kind of method, by buying the property, so then it becomes a totally an Islamic community. So this is some of the things that I see happening locally as well as throughout the country. And you can see that where they actually place Somali refugees or refugees as a whole regarding the Muslims coming over here to America. And this is part of we're having issues with locals. We're having issues with public schools trying to teach these kids. They're actually protesting in some cases, where they'll go outside and protest the school for teaching something that it doesn't agree with Islam. And there's a whole bunch of things happening on that level. Civilization Jihad is a very, very broad concept, and it was developed by the Muslim Brotherhood. So it's not my terminology, it's theirs.
Dan. So this is an orchestrated effort to take over areas of the countries that they emigrate to?
It's to take over the entire country, and let me just read you where it comes from. It comes from correctly. It comes from the explanatory memorandum. Let me read that to you. This was written in 1991. We only discovered it recently in 2007, and that's thanks to a wonderful police officer who was just doing his job. He caught this gentleman. So he caught this woman taking pictures of the Chesapeake Bay Bridge structure in a faux burqa. Now he watched her get into a car. Of course, she wasn't allowed to drive. And he pulled it over and did a basic traffic stop. He learned the name of the driver and found out he was wanted by the FBI for questioning. So they did a search warrant on his house, and in a hidden sub-basement dugout, I mean, that's below the basement he had in his house, an extra basement, they found 91 banker boxes of documents related to the Muslim Brotherhood. One of them is called the Explanatory Memorandum, and it was used in the Holy Land Foundation trial. This is just one paragraph on it. It says, understanding the role of the Muslim Brotherhood in North America. The process of settlement is a civilization jihadist process with all that the word means. The Ikhwan, which means brotherhood in Arabic, must understand that their work in America is a kind of grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within and sabotaging its miserable house by their hands in the hands of the believers, so that it is eliminated and that God's religion is made victorious over all other religions. Without this level of understanding, we are not up to the challenge and have not prepared ourselves for jihad. Yet it is a Muslim's destiny to perform jihad and work wherever he is and wherever he lands until the final hour comes. And there is no escape from that destiny, except for those who choose to slack. But would the slackers and the mujahideen be equal? This is their wording, their choice of what they're doing here in America. And this is, again, it's not something I'm making a claim against. It comes from their documents.
Paul, it's my understanding.
Okay, what year did that happen? I'm sorry.
What year? 2007 is when we discovered it. Oh, sorry. 2004 is when it was discovered. It was used in the Holy Land Foundation trial in 2007 and 2008.
Okay.
Paul,
Dave, go ahead.
Across the country, what do you think, or how many states do you feel like? I know we have a situation in Georgia that they have a training camp that we seem to, the most we do about it is watch it. I've got a friend that's a chief of police in a small town, and not too far from Atlanta, and we've got two of these training areas that the Muslims have bought ground, and my friend, the police chief, says, my hands are tied. I would love to drive them out of the county in a heartbeat, or out of the area in a heartbeat, but I can't until they do something wrong. There's no law against them owning property, and as long as they're, quote, unquote, using sticks for guns, I can't do anything. Is this true across the country, and how many states do you think are affected by this?
I know that in my own state, New York, there is a camp that has been, there's at least one camp that has been received a lot of public knowledge thanks to Ryan Morrow. There is also one that's located near me where there's actual weapons used. And in the southern tier where I live, it's not unusual for anybody to go out and use their gun target practice or shooting game or whatever. That's not an unusual thing, so they won't get arrested for using guns in the southern tier of New York State, which is basically the mountains. And it's just somewhat, you know, that's their culture, to be going out and shooting. But the question is, are they military training? We have a federal law called the Second Amendment that allows you to train a militia, so that's not the issue. The issue is, are they training to attack Americans on those areas? And that has been the MOA camps, Muslims of America, I believe it's called, MOA camps have been documented. I mean, there's actual documentation of their trainings. Again, we can thank Ryan Morrow. We can also thank CBN, this guy with CBN who does this also, for exposing this. However, why they're not being closed, as we can charge them with something called sedition and treason when they're training to kill Americans. And if that's all they're training for, to kill Americans, I'm going to say non-Muslims. They're training to kill non-Muslims. If that's what they're doing, by law, they can be arrested for sedition and treason. Those are actions against the country. Now, this is what we have to start arresting people for these charges rather than terrorism, because they let them out in a few years. Oh, you get 10 years for this. You get 10 years for that. Let's put you in for a minimum of 20, you know, 15 to 20 under the charge of sedition. Let's put you in for life under, you know, we actually charge for treason as death. Let's do that rather than put you in temporarily. I think that's the ultimate answer to this thing. We should stop charging people with terrorism, because we get people in office, such as the current POTUS, who is a member of the Muslim Brotherhood, doing things with the Muslim Brotherhood daily. If we have another person like that in office, our country is gone. We're fighting every day to allow things to happen. If we don't charge them with a penalty that is extreme, we're in trouble.
When you say
I've heard that the Muslim Brotherhood is kind of the central grandfather of all of this jihad activity. Is that, in your opinion, pretty true?
If you are a member of the leadership of Al-Qaeda, you have been a member of the Muslim Brotherhood in America, still considered an active member of the Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslim Brotherhood still consider bin Laden a good member, which is, even though he's dead. All of the current group that's getting a lot of noise is the Islamic State. The Islamic State formerly was Al-Qaeda Iraq, all right? And that's important to understand, because there was a 10-year plan to declare caliphate. And at the end of the 10-year plan, when that was the last goal, to declare caliphate, and that was declared almost the exact date of the end of that 10-year plan. That was their goal. So the very existence of the Islamic State is a declaration of Al-Qaeda's success under this current president. We had one president who beat the crap out of them. There's another president who gives awards to people when ISIS or became the Islamic State. He promoted somebody over it.
Paul, when you say that about Obama, besides his actions, is there any, and I don't disagree, I just want to get it past a rumor. What is there any clarification that, besides bowing to the Saudi Arabians and doing some of his other actions, is there any specific thing? Well, when we come back, I'd like for you to answer that, that he's done or proof that he is Muslim, which I don't doubt at all, but would like to hear your version of it. We'll be back right after this on America's Web Radio and the Dan and Dave Show with our guest today, Mr. Paul Sutliff. We'll be back after this.
When four members of Congress all die within 4 months, each of their deaths appears to be from natural causes. But when mysterious messages begin to appear in the form of quotations from long-dead revolutionary heroes, one reporter sets out to prove the existence of a serial killer. His search discovers dark secrets and an assassin shielded by people who need the very services that only he can provide. The Sun Silas Rising, a novel by Doug Dahlgren, on Kindle or paperback through Amazon.com.
Don't be hoodwinked by the left, who wants you to believe the fairy tale that we can power America on butterflies, rainbows, and pixie dust. I'm Marita Noon. Get the truth about energy on my show, America's Voice for Energy, only on America's Web Radio.
With all the back and forth in today's politics, it seems as though the Constitution gets lost in the mix. If you want to brush up on your Constitution, then join Michael Conley every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. for the show Our Constitution on AmericasWebRadio.com.
The disease of addiction is a life-altering challenge, not just for the person suffering its effects, but also for the family and friends who support and love the one caught in its grasp. What should be the course of treatment? Who is the best person to render treatment, and what is the best place to go for the care that is needed? We know that you want answers to these and many more questions. Call 770-696-9862 and speak to a representative of the Atlanta Healing Center. They can tailor a program specifically designed to address the needs of the person suffering with an addiction or give you guidance as to where that help may be found. Information is the key, and the trained staff at AHC is here to assist. If you wish, you can also get more information on the website located at www.atlantahealingcenter.com.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And we do thank you for listening, and you're listening to the Dan and Dave Show, and we've got a very special guest on today, Paul Sutliff. And Paul had made the comment that he feels like our POTUS, good old Obama, is Muslim. And I'd ask Paul if he had some proof or, you know, any factual things that Obama has said or done. And, Paul, I'm going to turn it back to you.
He's done a series of things. And about a year ago, I wrote an article entitled Infiltration and Obfuscation Alert. It was part of a four-part series that you can find on my blog. It's paulsutliff.blogspot.com. And basically, it talks about how if we have a president that is in charge of this country who is working with the Muslim Brotherhood, which is a terrorist group, Hamas is part of that terrorist group, it's just a chapter of it. That's what it says that in their charter, so that's important to understand, that we would expect someone to be telling lies to us so that they could make the Muslim Brotherhood look better, or that they could make the Muslims as a whole look better. So let's look at what President Obama said at the university in Egypt, the Cairo University in Egypt, on June 4th of 2009. He said, in signing the Treaty of Tripoli in 1796, the second president, John Adams, wrote, "The United States has in itself no character of enmity against the laws, religion, or tranquility of Muslims. And since our founding fathers, American Muslims have enriched the United States. They have fought in our wars. They have served in our government. They have stood for civil rights. They have started businesses. They have taught at our universities. They've excelled in our sports arenas. They've won Nobel Prizes, built our tallest building, and lit the Olympic torch." Well, this is the biggest bunch of malarkey that it's just crazy. He's just making things up to tell people, and it's sad. If you take a look, it's one of the comments I made in back in the article I wrote. It says, "Were there any Muslims here in the 1700s? Historical answer is that there were if there were any here, they were sold into slavery and working on plantations in the South. However, considering that many of the sellers of slaves in Africa were Muslim, so if they were being sold, this is their claim, that they were slaves that they came over. In order to be a slave at this time period, and you have to understand the persons who were selling the black slaves to people coming over here, they were Muslims, and you weren't allowed to sell a Muslim. So they were not Muslim. That's another claim that they're making. So you can't have a person who is a slave that's a Muslim, and they can't be sold in that respect. So that would be misinformation to us. And that's basically, that's part of their law, that's part of their Sharia, so that you can't have those things. So there's a whole bunch of malarkey here that they're telling people. No historical record exists that verifies that even one Muslim was present at the Declaration of Independence in 1776. We know those things. The first Muslim ever elected to serve in Congress, this happened in 2007, Keith Ellison. I mean, the only person they listed that can take part, that actually took part in the civil rights, was Malcolm X. That's it.
So
we have nothing else to back him up. He keeps making these statements. I mean, here's one of the things he said, July 25th, 2013. Throughout our history, Islam has contributed to the character of our country. Muslims and Muslim Americans and their good works have helped to build our nation, and we've seen the results. We've seen those results in generations of Muslim immigrants, farmers, and factory workers helping to lay the railroads and build our cities. Okay, were Muslims building the railroads? The answer is no. That was the Asian Americans, primarily Chinese, who helped. So all of a sudden, the Chinese become Muslim? This is purposeful, lying, misinformation that comes out of somebody who is supposed to be leading our country. And what particular political structure has that belief that lying to people who are not part of it is essential? That would be the Islamic structure. It is not a religion. Understand that. It is a political entity. And we can simply look at one of the most recent takeovers in history. Islam took over a huge part of Spain. And if you look at their history books, you will find that they don't say, you know, a country took over. They don't say a caliphate took over. They say simply, in their history books, Islam took over. That is the political entity that took over. When they came and they brought advisors, political advisors to come over and make sure that the jihad was being carried out according to the Quran, according to Sharia. And these jihad advisors were originally people who had known or had been associated with people who originally knew Muhammad. That's who they brought into Spain. They wanted to call it something else, Andalus. But at the same time, they also called it Spain, which is an interesting thing. They'll call it a paradise. Well, this is the paradise that they attacked and took over. In their old histories, they talk about the beautiful women that they stole and made their sex slaves. That's what they talk about, and the wealth that was over there, and all the fruits and the stuff that they didn't have in the desert. So that to them was of great value. However, they were attacking a free people who chose not to be Muslim, and they had their behinds kicked, took a few hundred years, but they did get their behinds, their behinds kicked and thrown out of Spain. And we only have to look at recent history. I mean, looking at the primary documents where you can see that these things are factual, that this is happening. They're trying to take over here in America. There's so many documentation. I just wrote a review of a textbook that lies to American children. And this to me is just mind-boggling. How often these lies come to just our kids. I'm looking at McDougal Littell's. I gave 25 reasons to remove McDougal Littell's World History book from your school district. In doing this, I looked at things such as, one piece by piece, there was 23 lies to children and to teachers, because they're textbooks and they're, the teachers have to use these when you're under orders. You may understand your social studies teachers are generalists. They learn so much of history. They can't be just this, you know, great in one area. They have to learn this huge expanse of history, period. And they're supposed to communicate it to your students. And they do their best. However, when you're given misinformation, you're given lies, you can only do your best with what you've got. Let me give you a passage out of one of these things that should really bother everybody. Let me just tell you that it's this passage got me so upset. When you tell kids that Muhammad is the prophet, or that Muhammad is the prophet, we have a problem. So this is right out of McDougal et al., page 265. It says this: returning to Mecca in 630, the prophet and 10,000 of his followers marched to the outskirts of Mecca. Facing sure defeat, Mecca's leader surrendered. The prophet entered the city in triumph. He destroyed the idols in Kaaba, and the call to prayer was made from its roof. Whoa, wait a minute. They didn't call him Muhammad. They called him the prophet. So that's endorsing him being a prophet. So this is what we call not only misinformation, it's a problem of prejudice. And this is what I said. It's not using the term the prophet not only once but twice confers on Muhammad that he's a prophet. Persons who are not Muhammad or are not Muslim should find this offensive. And this happens not just once but twice in that short passage. The civilization jihad is being carried through our textbooks. It's being carried through originally through colleges with the Muslim Student Association, Muslim American Society. There, you'll find those two groups in almost every college. They have about 700 chapters, 700 chapters, I believe, in North America alone.
And Paul, what do you think media is saying about Islam? It seems like media is trying to gain acceptance for Islam in America. Would you agree with that?
The leftists and the Democrats, yes. And I will say this: there's the two Republican candidates are actually going at this somewhat correctly. While the Democratic candidates are backing the Muslims and bringing them here because they want more people to vote for them, they don't understand that they are being used, and that's part of the problem. We have somebody like Hillary Clinton, who is in the center to this form of terror, to civilization jihad. She agrees with allowing Muslims to come over and to get involved to the point of leading our government and taking it over. She assents to this. She thinks there's nothing wrong with the Muslim Brotherhood after this long history of terrorist actions, assassinations. Again, you have to remember, Hamas is a small chapter of the Muslim Brotherhood.
We know that
they commit violent acts.
Paul, isn't Egypt a pretty good example of Muslim Brotherhood and what they'll do?
Exactly. And we have a president who's willing to lie to America and on his own website and say the Muslim Brotherhood is a nonviolent group.
With that, we're gonna have to take our second Paul, excuse me. We're gonna have to take another break. Can you stay with us for another 10 minutes or so?
Sure.
Okay, we'll be back right after this.
The Docs for Patient Care Foundation is your way to join the fight and become a member of an organization created by doctors for patients, dedicated to fighting for your healthcare freedom and preserving the doctor-patient relationship. Get a pen and paper. Write down docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. That's D-O-C-S, the number 4, patientcarefoundation.org. Go to our site and please make a generous tax-deductible donation and join the fight today. Thank you.
Don't be hoodwinked by the left, who wants you to believe the fairy tale that we can power America on butterflies, rainbows, and pixie dust. I'm Marita Noon. Get the truth about energy on my show, America's Voice for Energy, only on America's Web Radio.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
You're listening to americaswebradio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And welcome back to Dan and Dave on America's Web Radio. We've got a very interesting guest today, Paul Sutliff, and we're going to replay this show many times, and folks are going to have to listen and understand what Paul is saying about. We've got a serious, I would almost say, Paul, and correct me if I'm wrong, we're almost at a point of crisis with the Muslims, with the Islamic movement, the jihad, the civilization of jihad. Would that be a correct statement?
I'd say we're sick into what is a misinformation and seditious behavior throughout America that undermines our ability to educate people correctly. It undermines our ability to tell the truth regarding what is happening because we have the underlying structure they have set up attacked colleges first. So they actually got in, this is started in the 1960s, 1963, exactly. And when they came into America and started working the colleges, then they got they got professors in there, and then they run into, well, we've taught these kids, now we're going to use them, and they're in your public schools teaching your kids. So there's a huge misinformation power structure that now that they're in not just the public schools, now they're in your government. If you take a look at what's actually happening at the White House, you can go to whitehouse.gov and you can find a list of who works in the White House. It's a really simple list. Look at the salary list. You can find it. It's free. It's online. And take a look at the disproportionate amount of Muslims that now work in the White House. Take a look at the disproportionate amount of Muslims that are working for the Department of Homeland Security that are actually connected to the Muslim Brotherhood or to other various groups. It's an amazing amount. We have a group that our president set up called Countering Violent Extremism, yet the funny thing about that group is that it invites jihadists to speak at it. So it's a joke. I mean, you can't count something countering violent extremists when you refuse to use the term Islamic terrorism. And that's one of the things they never say those two words together, yet they allow jihadists to come speak in their forums. It's hilarious.
And it sounds like we're reaching a tipping point where there's no turning back.
Unless, this is the good thing about having a constitution that says, that we had an amendment for that says you could only serve two terms as a president. We didn't want a king. Thank you, God, that this was set up, you know, before we came along so we can get rid of people who are causing these, who are making some of these things possible. This current president, taking advantage of his obligations to the Muslim Brotherhood, has hollowed out our military. I mean, basically, our military looks like it exists at a level that's high and ready. However, he's taken many people out of their positions. He's just about decimated the military. If you look at what their abilities are today versus when he took office, it's like a fifth. It's amazing. I mean, this guy has done so much damage to our country that I cannot understand why he has not been charged with treason on so many different levels. I've actually talked to congressmen, and they say, well, it's not good for America. I'm like, well, excuse me, you know he's guilty, but you won't charge him with it? Well, then we can't get a person we want in office. That was the... I was just amazed. No,
yeah.
You have an obligation.
Paula, Dan had brought this up. Tell us about, give us a summary of your book, how people can get it, and what people are going to find when they read it. The, you know, give us a little, whole little history of the book.
This book is the result, it's called Civilization Jihad and the Myth of Modern Islam, and you can pick it up on Amazon or your Barnes & Noble stores. I'm hoping to get it in all your Christian bookstores, so if you go and request it in any bookstore, they should be able to order it for you without any problems. Or you can just order it online. This book originally started, I would say, from my first book was called Stealth Jihad Phase 2, Infiltrate American Colleges. And my biggest criticism that I received was from a professor at Nazareth saying it wasn't academic enough. Well, I actually started this book, made it very academic, and then I had to trash everything I wrote and then rewrite, because I write to the common person. Nobody wants to read an academic book. They don't sell. I wanted a book that would tell the truth to the common man and, you know, be a high enough academic quality that they have to shut up. Well, I've had professionals who work in this field of counterterrorism tell me they've learned stuff from reading my book. That they, you know, these are counterterrorism experts that say my book that tells the history of the Muslim Brotherhood in there as well, the violent history, taught them. So for a person who had previously made a comment saying it's non-academic, they've got a lot to learn. I'll just read the back cover of the book. It says, today we have an enemy that selected and targeted us without and opened the declaration of war. Our government has known this since 2004. We as Americans, however, have been largely left uninformed. The enemy is the Muslim Brotherhood and is carrying out in North America what they call civilization jihad. ISIS is a foreign enemy people recognize. But the Muslim Brotherhood is here working in the top levels of colleges, public schools, society, and government. This is not fiction. It's today's reality. And unfortunately, it's very, very true.
You know, Paul, many, many years ago, and Dan's heard me relate this story too many times, but, you know, this was back in 1957, 58, 50, probably closer to 1960. We had a speaker come to my junior high school, Dr. K, and he gave us an address regarding communism. And this was the communist plan to take over America. Dr. K said, you don't have to worry about atomic bombs. The communists are going to infiltrate first our colleges and then go down into schools, high schools, junior high schools, and ultimately elementary schools, changing the books that we read. So what you've said about the Muslims is exactly what he was saying about the communists, 40 years ago? 45 years ago, 50 years ago,
and I, you know, I'm a child from I was born in 64, so I didn't have a chance to hear him, unfortunately. And I'll tell you, it's the same plan. It's very much the same. Only the difference is what we were doing in the 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s was telling people the truth about communism. We educated people about the evils and dangers of communism. Not once have we told the entire truth to our students in a public school forum about what Islam teaches. They only teach, I'm one of those public high school teachers, we only teach things like there are five pillars of Islam. We don't tell people that there are other pillars. We don't tell people that jihad is considered part of the rights of Allah. All right, the first right, will pure worship. They consider jihad a part of the pure worship. It's the first right of Allah. We don't tell these kids that. I have a textbook that's telling kids that the reason they have a mosque in Jerusalem is because that's where Muhammad ascended into heaven. Well, that wasn't a dream, that he somehow wrote this fantastic fantasy-type creature from Saudi Arabia to Jerusalem, and there he got off and you know, depending on which biographer, which sira you're reading, you know, he either wrote the thing there and then ascended to heaven, or somehow he was just teleported there from Saudi Arabia, and then it's all part of a dream. They only tell kids that he ascended into heaven in textbooks.
Paul,
they don't tell them that it was in Muhammad's dream. So the question is, how do you know where somebody else's dream really took place? How did they know to build that mosque at that particular spot? Again, it's part of a dream. They had to destroy the church that was there during Muhammad's dream, where he talks about having been at the temple of the Jews. Oh, no. Wait a minute. That wasn't there. When you were having this dream, there was a church there.
Paul, on that...
This is all a big sad setup.
We're running out of time, but I wanted to ask, will you come back and be on the Dan and Dave show? And also, I'd like to introduce you to some of our other hosts that I'm sure would be delighted to have you on, and I'll put them in contact with you. But I do want to thank you for today and for what you're doing and the book that you've written, Civilization, Jihad, and the Myth of Moderate Islam. Thank you very much, Paul. We do appreciate
it.
And
Yeah, thank you, Paul. Thank you. I'd like to come back.
Dan, we're just about out of time. About to put the plug in the jug. We've got a couple of minutes to go. I thought Paul was fantastic, and I don't know about you, but I certainly want him back on our show, and like I said, we'll get him on some of our other shows.
Well, it's interesting to hear him talk. I mean, he's obviously got so much information. And I'm going to go on Amazon and order his book. Good guest today, Dave. Thanks for getting Paul on.
Well, we're going to, you know, this is something I think Paul made the point that this is the first time we've got an enemy that America's not talking about, not doing anything about, really. We've got a questionable, to say it, to be nice, a questionable president or semi-leader, as he's called, that doesn't say anything. And I think, quite frankly, Dan, I think it's our duty. We've got a forum here. We have good listenership. We have a lot of Americana. We've got people that care about our country that listen to the station, listen to our show. And I think, you know, I think it's our responsibility. If nobody else is going to do it, well, by golly, we're going to do it and let people know what we're facing in the United States, not just for you and me, but for our kids and our grandkids.
Yeah, I think my observation is that Americans do a really great job when we're invaded. When there's a bomb dropped on Pearl Harbor or a call to war, we marshal our arms and we fight and we win. But the danger of jihad is that it's not immediate, it's over time. It's through the schools, it's through the media. It's a little bit by little bit. Your comparison to communism is very accurate. And Americans kind of get lulled into sleep.
That's
it. They need to be woken up.
Well, Dan, you wrapped it up very well. And with that, we're going to have to put the plug in the jug and get ready for the land surveying show. Mr. Curtis Sumner coming our way with the NSPS Hour. Dan, thanks as always, and we will certainly be in touch, I'm sure, very soon.
Yes, sir. Put the plug in the jug.
All right. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.